Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 505. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony. Oh no, Tony's fading. What's this, week 18?
Too many. I don't know. I don't know what day it is. Who am I? Who are you? None of it makes any sense anymore.
Earl is here.
Tell me, who are you? Hi.
We are all losing it a little bit.
Well, I lost it a long time ago.
Yeah.
I've lost it way before I did, though, I bet. Wait, what are we talking about again?
I'm in a great mood. I went to work today, and that is a weird statement to say whenever, but I got out of the house, so I'm going to take that as a win.
Win!
Jeff is also here.
I'm back for the drunk episode. Woo!
Yeah, you were so drunk you couldn't make last week. How was your week off?
Just like every other week.
Yeah, that's pretty much. That's...
Well, I mean, for you, that's different because you actually got to stay home where you actually do work and go outside every day.
Yeah. But it still is like, it feels like we're just like stuck in Groundhog Day no matter what. There's nothing to look forward to. Nothing's going to ever happen in the future. There's no big events that you're going to go to. It's just the end of the world. We're fucked.
It's funny you mentioned that, because like I said, I went to work today, and I take the train to work, so I was on the subway, and I'm like walking down the subway to go home, and I still, like, if you've ever been to New York City, almost subway train stations, they usually have like posters and advertisements for stuff upcoming, and I started walking down, and I started realizing that a lot of this stuff had passed. It's like starting February 16th.
I saw that, but the one poster was from like
that Christmas.
Black Christmas. It's from Christmas, yeah. Dude.
And I'm just
what,
like,
what the fuck?
And there were some other ones, because it was Black Christmas, and there was the other one, At Christmas, with the Narnia. And I just started walking. I'm like, this is such a weird time capsule, because it really feels like everything has stopped existing prior to March 2020.
It's that, it's those scenes in the movie, right? Where like, you know, the world has ended and nobody, it's like you're like, oh, that's cool, like they have like a Jurassic Park thing like up in the corner or something.
Yeah,
now we're actually experiencing it.
It was just so strange to see, because like, and I've been to work before then, but I don't know why my mind paid attention, but I was just looking at the dates and I'm like, yeah, nothing past March. It's just like really weird, and it's like, all right, because there's been nothing to put up. I mean, even if you could, there's no way to see it. But it's like, yeah, this is so strange. It I said that, and then there was the news about the Black Adam movie that came out today, where Noah Centineo, I think that's his name, was cast as Adam Smasher, and that's not the important stuff. The important thing is, like, to me, it feels so weird that news is going on, because in my head, the world just kind of stopped. We're not progressing anywhere in the last 4 months.
No, have movies started filming again? Like,
Actually, it was like right before I was going to bed the other night. I saw like David Chen had like a live stream going, and I clicked on it or whatever, and he was talking about that. Like, and he said, like, from what he's heard, that like shit is in production right now. Like,
yeah,
the whole release thing, like, again, like, obviously, shit keeps getting delayed and moved back, and 1 week the theater's going to open, then it's not, but, like, as far as production goes, they've, like, sounds like they figured it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then again, it's like, all right, we're just going to have, like, 2 years worth of movies next year, or what the fuck is going to happen?
Well, I assume, essentially what you're going to end up with is... Essentially, 2020 is going to be this weird vacuum of a year where nothing comes out. And like, so everything from like 2020 is really going to move to either the end of 2020 or 2021, which will then push the... I mean, outside of like major, major blockbusters, it's not a lot of movies that really had firm release dates where they're being moved. Like the ones you tend to see moving are the, you know, like the tentpoles, the blockbusters.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the thing where, like, you know, Black Widow will now be like February, and whatever the next Marvel movie would be May, and then whatever was May is going to be moved back to like August or something like that.
Next year could, you know, provided we're back to normal by 2021. Yeah. Like, but like, let's just like theorize that we are like 2021 could be like an amazing year for blockbuster film, like where every week there's like another new giant movie. I don't know if that does good for the box office.
Well, I mean, all these people who don't have jobs who can't afford to go to all these.
Yeah.
No, but if things do come, like, you know, it's a big if, but if things do come back and it's like people feel safe to go outside again and all that, right? Dude, I think the box office could go fucking crazy.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, you know, if you have a major movie every week.
Like, I know, but I think it would be record setting every week.
Yeah, but are those individual films able to sustain it? Like, I don't know if we get an Avengers type movie. You might have like a bunch of big successes, but they might not be as big as
yeah, just because the frequency. Like,
yeah,
like,
there's just so many.
The tail won't be as long.
Like, I don't care one way or the other, like, money wise, but like if you give me great movies every week and I feel comfortable going to the theater, I'm going to be in heaven.
I think, like, again, yeah, I think even went back to, like, sort of normal, fucking the economy is going to explode, like, just in general, I think. Like, I don't know. I think people are sick of sitting around.
No, and that is true. That is part of the problem as to why this very evil cycle is continuing, where people are getting tired of staying home, so they're going outside. Just one more note on the movies, which I find fascinating, which I am curious about, is I think we got word this week that the Batman is going to resume shooting in September, which, you know, Batman I'm excited for. But they're filming all indoors now. They're going to build sets. And I wonder if, like, in the medium term, is that what's going to be the future of movies? Instead of, like, risking filming in a location, are people just going to start filming more and more on giant sets again, so that you don't have to worry about, like, oh, you know, like, we, like, for instance, the Batman was going to film, and I think they're filming in London. I think it was part of it was going to film in LA. So now it's like we don't have to worry about California closing down. We're just going to do this on a sound stage. There are some pros to con to making it that way, but I assume for, like I said, the medium term, that is going to be the healthiest way to not have to worry about a country closing down or getting people infected if it's a closed environment where you can test people and, you know, limit the amount of people on set at a time.
Right. Yeah. And like right now, like, if, you know, if you have an American star, you can't fly over to London or Europe anyway. So
I'm sure they can, if they want to.
There's probably ways around it, but, you know, it just becomes a logistical nightmare for setting that stuff up. So it could be very interesting.
I'm just double checking though. This is the drunk episode, right?
No.
Any episode can be a drunk episode if you try hard enough.
It's about to be.
Jeff, that was two episodes ago.
Yes, it was the fourth.
Oh, shit.
But you drink make up. It with... have a blast.
We ordered Mexican food for dinner, like from like the restaurant we would normally go to, and to recreate the restaurant experience, I made myself a large margarita, and feeling pretty good.
Good. So video games.
Oh yeah.
I don't know the list here. We've played some this week. Who wants to actually, you know what? I'm going to jump into it. Spoilers.
Give me the full, like, one paragraph summary of this game. I want to know, because I have not looked up the spoilers for it. Can we do that? Like, will people
Well, we talked spoilers last week and we're going to do it again. So, like, just jump ahead like 15 minutes if you don't want to hear anything on The Last of Us.
Oh, boy, it's that long.
I think there's a little bit to unpack here, but yeah, the one paragraph breakdown, Jeff, is Ellie goes on a revenge quest because Joel is murdered. She goes out to kill the people that killed Joel. Halfway through, you switch protagonists, so you then take over control of the killer of Joel, and you play as her for the second half of the game. And they're concurrent, so Ellie's timeline and Abby's timeline are the same. You're playing the same time period up until a certain point that happens. And that's basically it. It's a revenge story where you play as the one out for revenge, and then also as the killer who was also out for revenge.
Okay, but all right, since I love the story of the first one, but I'm never going to play this game, like, can you tell me, like, how that ends? Or, like,
you go through a whole bunch of stuff. Ellie ultimately tracks down Abby after she has decided. So she's given a respite of Abby defeats her. And basically goes, like, I never want to see you again. Please, like, get the fuck out of here. Ellie and her girlfriend, Dina, and Tommy, Joel's brother, they all pack back up, go back to Jackson, where Ellie and Dina are, they are living out their life on a farm with their baby, because Dina was pregnant. And Ellie just can't let the revenge go, so eventually she has to go find Abby. After Tommy gives her some information, she finds Abby. Abby's been tortured brutally by these another faction in the game, she's been crucified almost, like she's put up on like a crucifix type thing out in the ocean. So, like, the waves will, like, just wash over her, and she'll be exposed to the sun and the heat when the sun is up, and to the high tides when water is coming in. So she's really weak. Ellie cuts her down, and they fight. Ellie gets the upper hand and ultimately decides not to kill her.
Okay.
And that's the end. That's the game. Go ahead.
So, like, by the end, had you like switched like your sympathies, like, or were you still like rooting for Ellie?
No. Like, Ellie's, look, everybody's wrong in this fucking game. Like, so at the beginning, yes, you are very much like, like, Ellie should go, and yeah, she should, like, let's get revenge. And here's the thing, like, I enjoyed playing this game much more than I did The Last of Us Part 1. I think that the gameplay is actually really good, which is maybe not great because it's fun to kill people in this game. And it's a game about, like, hey, like, violence is bad, like, revenge is bad. Violence gets more violence. It's a vicious cycle. But I said this last week to Earl and Tony, there's a flip halfway through where you take over as Abby. And the reason Abby is hunting Joel is because the doctor that Joel shoots in the hospital in The Last of Us, when he's rescuing Ellie, is Abby's dad.
Yeah. That's why I asked that, because I kind of figured, I thought you were going to say, like, by the end of it, like, Ellie does get Abby, but by that point, you're, like, so on Abby's side because they made you play as her in the second half.
No, so,
and, you know what I mean? Like,
and I guess, like, there are people that definitely, like, sided with Abby, like, oh, she's great. Like, I think her story is inconsequential. Like, ultimately, I think it's not needed. It is, I think if you take it separately, and it was like you didn't have this related to Ellie or Joel, and it was just, Abby's interactions in Seattle for this 3-day period. That's a cool game. Like, there's something cool there. Like, there's some cool characters that she interacts with. There's a neat story. but it all hinges around the fact that she went out for revenge on Joel. I don't care that she killed Joel. That's not really the point. Is Abby is also one of her friends, or I don't know, accomplices in killing Joel, actually calls her a piece of shit like three quarters of the way through the game, in relation to Abby's actions. And she's not wrong. Abby is a piece of shit. Like, what Abby did to Joel was excessive. It's understandable, but also Abby's actions, she's part of this organization, the Washington Liberation Front, the Wolves. They're a bad group. Like, they overtook the fascist Fedra group, the military you see at the beginning of the Last of Us, the ones that are, you know, occupied Boston. They overtake them and then just go about doing the exact same thing. And she's part of this group, and she's high up in their ranks. So she's a piece of shit. like the actions that she goes through are redeeming in a way, but I wasn't like, yeah, Abby's this, you know, she's this great person. We love her. I think there's a cool story there. If you separate it from this, maybe paint her in a different way. Yeah, I was not like, oh, Abby's awesome. Love her. I felt like, Jesus Christ, like, you just made me play another 8 hours of this game, and nothing is accomplished in that 8 hours other than to give me the perspective of this person who is not a good person. Oh, and like Ellie now, not a good person either, because she is so like single focused, so
hardened from the life.
Well, she's just so single-minded in her desire to get revenge.
I have one more question, and then I'll shut up about this game. Do they ever, like, kind of hint at whether or not Ellie knows that Joel lied to her?
They don't hint at it at all. It is explicitly just like a shown.
We mean it's shown.
So there are flashbacks. Each point in the game, as you're playing as Ellie, you'll flash back to 4 years ago, like, which is right after the events of The Last of Us. 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago. And in each one, like, you're getting little snippets of her time with Joel. And I think it's the second 2 years ago piece where she, like, asks him about it, and he kind of dodges the question. And then 1 year ago, she asks him again and explicitly states, like, look, if you don't tell me the truth, I'm out. Like, I'm leaving. You'll never see me again. Like, if you tell me the truth, I'll come back to Jackson. He does. He tells her what happens, and she gets pissed off, and they have, like, a little bit of a falling out.
So that's interesting that they do, like, address it that much. Like, I thought maybe it would be a thing that they don't address at all. Like, they don't talk about it at all because it's just something that happened, and we're putting more into it than, you know.
Yeah, and so, which then brings you over to, so you get all that in the first half of the game, and then you start playing as Abby, and like the first thing you play as Abby is 4 years ago, immediately before Joel and Ellie show up at the hospital, like at the end of the game there, and you're out with your dad, you have this cute bonding moment, it's like, you know, it's neat, it's fun, whatever. And then there's a long cut scene where I think her name was Marlene, the Firefly leader, who gave Ellie to you to transport to the Fireflies. And so it's her and the doctor, they're having a conversation about this. And like, at no point is, you know, Ellie given any agency over this. She's not asked if, hey, is it all right if, you know, we kill you? there's not even a 100% chance that they were going to be able to create a vaccine. Just the chance of a vaccine. Can't, like, your brain has the virus. You are immune. If we crack your head open and basically pull your brain out, we can, you know, analyze the shit there and maybe create a vaccine. She's never given that because she was unconscious. she almost drowned, and Joel was trying to save her. And then Joel isn't given a chance to talk to her either, which then results in Joel, doing what he did and rescuing her. So Ellie is dealing with she's dealing with the fact that I wanted my life to mean something and it didn't, because Joel stole that from me, but also these other people were also going to steal that from me because they didn't give me the option of, they didn't even tell me, they put Joel in a shitty position. So she's angry at both Joel and herself for all the actions. But my thing with Abby is that her dad tells us and goes no, there's no fucking other way. We have to do it now. We're gonna kill her and we're gonna get a cure. And Abby's yeah, you're doing the right thing, Dad. if it was me, I'd want you to do it on me. Well, yeah, you're saying that right now. nobody's asking you. Ellie. So yeah, guess what? I don't like you. And it's supposed to be you're supposed to get on her side, and she's doing, you pet the dog, and she's living a nice life in Seattle, and she comes across this other faction, and you go on an adventure with these kids of this rival faction that everyone wants to kill, and she's doing things that are redeeming, but don't necessarily redeem all her past actions. So, I don't know. I am confused by the aggressive hyperbole on both sides of this game. It's good. It is not the most amazing thing ever made.
But maybe it's a meta commentary on the meta commentary of the game about extremities.
Maybe.
I don't understand what Earl just said, but I agree with it.
Well, I mean, the whole point of the game, from what I gather from what everybody who loves it said, is the whole point is how violence begets violence, that begets violence, which means eventually somebody has to break the cycle.
Yeah.
So, one of everybody's favorite terms from a few years ago was what? Ludonarrative. Ludosynchrotic.
Ludonarrative dissonance?
Yeah, there we go. Which was very popular on Uncharted, because it was the concept of the actions of the character mismatching with their actual personalities in the game as presented. And I feel like this game, a lot of people are they tackle the violence. They actually have a reason for the violence and not. So I think a lot of that is, for a lot of people, it's a story that is new to video games. It's not a story that's new to entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you go back to, technically speaking, that is the jux of Oedipus. Somebody's, somebody kills somebody's dad. The son comes out for revenge. The son kills that person. And yeah, so it's an ancient storytelling mechanic. It's just new for video games. And I think people take it to that extreme where nothing could be good or bad. It has to be amazing or it has to be awful. There's no middle ground. There's no, it's decent. I enjoy it. It's just, it's the reason why, if a game gets below an 8, people freak out. Because it means it's just okay.
And look, I could see some people really enjoying this. That's great. Both sides are it's just crazy where it's one side is just hey, this is the greatest thing ever. It's a masterpiece. And the other side is oh my God, it's awful. And both sides are crazy. One side is worse. I definitely think the people attacking. So there's a trans character that Abby, she kind of saves and becomes a mother figure to, cause it's a younger kid. People are just attacking that. You people are disgusting.
They're just mad that there is a trans character.
For some odd reason,
Ellie and Dina are lesbians, and guess what?
Trying to appeal to the woke crowd, man.
Yeah, that's pretty much what people are saying.
Yeah, and it's so stupid because it's like, look, it's a good story regardless. Like, I mean, it's not great. I don't think it's, this is not Oscar worthy.
I mean, in 2020, it might be because it's not out of movies.
You're not wrong. but yeah, it's like for a video game, it's a decent story. I don't think it's like, I think the first story is definitely better. And I think the gameplay here is better, which is also part of my problem with it because like, oh, like you're supposed to like kind of be like, hey, Ellie and Abby are maybe in the wrong with their brutal violence, but it's fun. like, and also Ellie and Abby leave so many people dead. They are like one woman armies that just leave like swaths of people injured and dead, and there's no mercy in this game. Like,
isn't that, I seem to remember a scene from Uncharted 3 where the villain, maybe it's Uncharted 2, where the villain is like, how many people have you killed, Nate Drake? Like, isn't this like a feature of their games?
Like, it kind of is like,
well, and that's again where that concept of, you know, narrative dissidence came from, was Nathan being like, because I think in 2 he specifically says that he doesn't want to kill people. He's trying, like, there are stealth segments where he's like, I want to do this as quietly as possible without taking people out. And that means, like, shimmying up rooftops and throwing people off cliffs. And right. For some reason, he says that, and then you do that, it's like, there's a huge disconnect between what your character wants to do and what you're telling me to do.
Right. And that's, like, look, I'm glad that, like, they didn't make it so that it was like, I don't like playing this game. Like, it makes me uncomfortable. And I guess some people, like, did get that feeling from it. I did not. And I'm glad they didn't, because I definitely would have checked out way quicker on this game. If been like, oh, this is a miserable, like, miserable story. Not a bad story, but just, like, a miserable note that there's no cheer here at all. And then the gameplay is also miserable and not enjoyable. So I don't know if it necessarily works, and maybe it's just, it's the nature of video games. Like, you have to have people interact with it in some way. And if you want them to get all the way through, it has to be enjoyable in some way. Especially a game that is, it took me 23 hours. I was evidently on the low end of play time for that. Like, some people are taking 28 or 35 hours with it. So, that's a long period of time.
I guess you didn't make it wash over you and just sit there at the sheer horror of your actions for like 5 minutes after you killed somebody.
No, there were points when I was like, that was fun. Or like, I don't know. I watch a lot of horror films, so like, you know, watching you like smash in like a monster skull or something and like seeing the gore spray, like, yeah, it's gross, but it's like, that's cool that they were able to kind of capture that animation and make it look so cool. Like, I'm not looking at it from a, oh, Ellie is this, she's lost her mind. She's like looking like, shit, look at what they did artistically here. This is kind of cool. That's just, that probably just comes from, you know, 40 years of watching horror films, but that's The Last of Us Part 2. You guys aren't going to play it, so.
Nope.
But thank you for telling me the whole game.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And for those joining us in progress, that is the end of The Last of Us 2 spoiler segment.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever talk about that again. So,
I really was curious about like the whole story. Like, I was going to watch like a YouTube video, but I figured since I have you here, get the shorter version of that.
So, other games. Who wants to go?
There are other games? Damn.
Earl plays games. Play games.
I played games. I will go. So I'm going to start off with the one game I forgot to mention in there. And I think I talked about this when I tried it out the first time. Maybe I didn't. Ring Fit Adventure. Nintendo's fitness game. I was finally able to track that down a few weeks ago after, you know, selling the bed of my firstborn. I'm sorry, kiddo. And And you know, it's one of those it's one of those Nintendo games that on paper makes no sense whatsoever. It's a fitness RPG where you use I don't even know actually know the actual term for it, but like a resistance band essentially to interact with the game world and complete basic exercises and stuff like that. It is one of those things that you hear, you think, oh, this is not going to be good. It's either going to be a really piss poor video game or a really bad workout machine. I can't really speak to the exercise. I don't work out enough to say one way or the other. I will say it has kicked my ass playing it. And it does it in such a charming and fun way that you don't feel bad that the game is kicking your ass by having you actually work out. So how it works essentially is it's on rails essentially. You have a straight path. I mean, I don't know if it opens up later on, you're on rails. And to move in the actual game world, you physically have to move in the real world. I have downstairs neighbors, so I use the silent mode. In general, you're supposed to jog. Since I have neighbors, I have to squat. So you just basically, you're squatting up and down to move your character. The faster you squat or the deeper you squat, the faster your character moves. There are segments of the game, depending on the environment, that you have to move faster to get out of. So like, for instance, if you go in water, you can't run as fast in water. So you have to move faster to actually get the momentum going. And again, that just correlates to you moving your body physically faster and stuff like that. With the Rincon, you also interact with the world in that way. So you could suck up coins by pulling it out, or you can kind of push it into real stuff, environment, crates and stuff like that to break it. Throughout the course of this, you'll run into enemies. And once you get into enemies, it turns into a turn-based RPG. And it's an RPG, so you have different attacks, but the attacks in this game are done, again, via exercises. So there's one where you squat down, you pop up, and then you hit the enemy from above. There's another where you do a essentially just like a stomach curl, and that's one of the first multi attacks I've gotten. You do what are they called? Neck kicks or whatever. You pull your ass towards your chest, you push them out, you pull them, and that, you know, that's a kick attack. You could do there's a yoga one that gives you like a yoga shower. So you sit in kind of a chair position and you move your arms up and down slowly. And that one's more about, it's more, you know, yoga is more about breathing your technique. So that one's more about keeping pace with what the game wants you to do instead of like pulling your arms up and down really fast. And yeah, I think it's a ton of fun. I like the variety of exercises. It gives, you know, because it's an RPG and it's set up like that, if you use an attack and so you can't spam the same exercise over and over again. Each one has a cooldown. So like some exercises, it will have a one round cooldown, which means you have to do something else for that round. You can go back to it. I have some not a two or three, which means like you can use it, but once you use it, you have to do two or three rounds of different exercises before you can go back to it. To defend, you turn it around and you do like you basically inhale and hold it against your stomach as long as possible while the enemy's attacking. So yeah. A lot of that stuff is cool. For me, I think the big part of it for me, like I said, again, not a person who exercises a ton, is just kind of creating good habits for me. The game has warm exercises before you start, so you can stretch and number up, but it also has cooldown exercises, which is not something I've done often. So like after you finish the game and you're turning it off, it'll be like, you know, okay, have you had fun? It's cool down. So it'll have you like stretch your back, stretch your arms and stuff like that for about 2 minutes, and then you can, you know, finish the game and call it a day. Like I said, it's really fun and charming as well. The character is very interesting. The big bad of the game is this really muscle-bound dragon with wings who you run into him and he's doing push-ups and stuff like that. And when like, he'll attack you, and then like the next round he will just spend flexing his muscles and stuff like that. And part of that is to give you a cooldown and stuff like that. But again, it just has this really nice humor to it. And I think it works. Why it works for me at least is that because of that humor, because of those characters, like your Joy-Con's an actual character, your Rincon's an actual character in the game who talks to you. It provides positive feedback, which you don't necessarily always get. So it's not telling you like, oh, you screwed up. You're doing this wrong. It's like, oh, you know, move faster, move slower, better. You're doing great. Keep it up. Increase your, you know, like minor positive reinforcement, but it's positive reinforcement that keeps you going and keeps you motivated. And it's also kind enough, if you've ever played on the Wii, you know Nintendo is very active about reminding you to always take breaks at a game. It's like, you know, take a break, hydrate, keep cool, you know, do whatever you need to do. We'll be here when you're back. So it's great. I've been enjoying it. And if you don't want to play the RPG itself, what I did like this morning or yesterday when I had to go into the office and didn't have time, is you could just do quick exercises, which are just, you can pick whatever you want to do. There's some where it's just like, here's 30 seconds, pull this apart as many times as you can in 30 seconds, or do like a back stretch. And it shows you what part of your body it will focus on, if it's your deltoid, your biceps, your spine, or whatever. There are some like mini games as well. There's one that it's essentially just, it works your abs by having you hold the Joy-Con, and then you're just basically moving from left to right to balance it as you walk across the thing, trying to collect as many coins as you can. So again, you know, it has that classic Nintendo. This doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever, but you make it work, and I'm here for it. Charm that they put off sometimes.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. Although you sound like you, because of your living situation, you got the hard mode.
Yeah, it was really funny because like you said, you squat to move, so you're always squatting to move around, and then like one of the, like, could you only start off with like three attacks, and one of the first attacks like squat. I'm like, you got to be kidding. And just to kind of break up the momentum, because when you squat as an attack, you have to like really squat and sit there for, I think you sit there for like 5 seconds before you pop back up. And then like what it does as you do that, like, it will, depending on the level, I think I'm right now at like level 20, which is like a middle-ish, is that you will do like, I don't know, you do 10 reps of that, and then it will go fast. It's like, okay, you're doing great. Let's speed it up. And then it's like, okay, so you're 2 seconds up, 2 seconds up, 2 seconds up. And yeah, it's like I said, for somebody who does not work it that often, it is exhausting as hell. But it's just in a great enough frame that I'm like, okay, I'm enjoying this. I'm going to go back to it because I want to actually see how the game ends.
Neat. So like they're, you said there is like a story that like it's a little cutie, but yeah, worthwhile to go through.
Yeah, I mean, so far the story is, I mean, this is Nintendo. I mean, half of their franchises is Save a Princess. This story is essentially not. It's not. There's no princess to save, but essentially the evil dragon has taken over the land. You're helping this Joy-Con, this Rincon character, regain power and take him out. That is the gist of it. You know, like there are, I know there are other enemies and stuff you run into, and like the enemy types are also really funny. Like I fought an enemy yesterday that it's a dumbbell. I forget what it's called exactly, but it's like a dumbbell, and that's the enemy type. And you know, like they really go all into this exercise theme and craft the world out of it. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
What else you've been playing?
What else have I been playing? I have been playing. Well, okay. I think I mentioned this last week, jokingly, and then I got an idea in my head to try it out. So I played a Shaq Fu: A Legend Reborn on the PlayStation 4 because I wanted to try out streaming via Twitch. And you know, everybody kind of has. Like, I think, again, I don't remember what I said last week. It's like, I don't want to play the popular games because I play Fortnite personally. And that reminds me, I did get Aquaman this week, so I finally achieved that goal. After I gave them money, I feel so disgusting. I didn't pay for Aquaman, but you have to buy the battle pass in order to unlock him. Which I think
That's fine, because you can re-earn that money
back. Yeah, that's what everybody says. I'm like, I don't want to keep the cycle going. So I was like, okay, so I wanted to figure out, like, you know, if I honestly speaking, if I was to stream full time, I would do that. My idea would be thing, and that it would be wrestling video games, because that is my bread and butter. That is the world I know in my entire life. And so I don't know what part you lost me at.
No, we could hear you. It's just you got really odd.
Weird. Yes. Crap. What did I see? I was on Twitter, and it was an ad for a Nickelodeon kart racing game. And yep. I jokingly said, like, if I was to stream, this would be my bread and butter. It would be, like, the area of licensed video games. A bunch of stuff that I think, like, you know, I watch enough bad movies that like bad product doesn't bother me too much. And because those games are bad, they tend to be cheap anyhow. So I'm like, you know, this would be fun. And I was like, I just went on, I was like, you know, what is on PlayStation 4? And Shaq Fu was on sale for $5. I'm like, you know, I grew up on Shaq. Technically, it's a licensed product, I think. I mean, sure. It isn't. It's, I mean, it's using his likeness, not licensed from anything. But yes, it's unlike Shaq Fu the original, which was a fighting game, this is actually a beat 'em up. And it is offensive as hell. It has, you have an Asian mentor, and within like the first 5 or 10 minutes, I'm like, this is so not PG or kosher at all, about how he's portrayed in the game. But the actual combat is actually pretty decent. You know, coming off of Streets of Rage 4, it's not as great or tight as that is. But as far as like a modern beat 'em up, I actually enjoy it. He has a really decent amount of attacks. He has his base attack with on the PlayStation controller, just pressing a box or a square, I guess. You press triangle, I think, to do a ground pound, which is kind of an aerial attack. If you build up your combo high enough, you can press circle, and he'll do different types of strong moves. So, like, if you know, like his weakest strong move is he'll just give like a big boot, which will push enemies back. Higher up, there will be a boot that comes down on the screen and squash people. You can charge people with R1 and L1. And this breaks the defense of certain characters, which you can then grab with R2 or L2. And you could drain their health, or you could jam them to the ground. There, you know, any beat them up, there are enemies that drop weapons. You can use that to attack. There are shielded enemies. So there's a variety of different types of enemies. The most recent one I saw, again, talking about kind of being offensive, is some women who shoot fireworks at you with a little dragon gun. I assume because it's not a huge game, it kind of went under other people's radar, but I'm saying this and I'm just like, yeah, this is really questionable. Very questionable to me. But yeah, it is fun. And I picked that up, and then I have a few other games. I'm going to try to aim for doing something Saturday morning. We'll see. I'll probably do another test tomorrow. But yes, that was Shaq Fu. And I guess just to kind of wrap up my segment, I also played, and I put this in the notes, so I should remember it. Oh, Streets of Rage, which is not Streets of Rage. Which
sounds like it, though.
It does. And when my friend was like, oh, I'm like, you mean Streets of Rage 4? That's how you two play. She's like, no, this is something different. And this is a roguelike procedurally generated.
Like, here, where's my list of buzzwords? Where did it go?
What do I want? It's not a beat 'em up. It's an isometric game. And you have a variety of characters who have different abilities and stuff like that. And it's kind of like a weird Hotline Miami, except it's not like one hit, one kill. So you go through different rooms and you'll have different tasks. So like you might have a task where it's like execute this enemy, rescue this enemy, and take them either to an entrance or an exit, destroy like this property, open this safe and retrieve its content, you know, break into this face. And you have several objectives per floor. You have to complete them before you can get rid of the floor. And, you know, depending on your character, there's a bunch of your characters have different people who are hostile towards them. Say, for instance, a vampire. There are people who are secretly werewolves. And if you get close to them, they will bust out into werewolf personas and just face you on the map. If you are a hacker, for instance, and you start hacking something, you alert people in the room or the cops nearby. They will start chasing you. If you are, for some reason, this is racist, if you are a shapeshifter, everybody hates you until you take on somebody else's identity. So you can also, as far as I can tell right now, the shapeshifter is the only person who has a fast travel. They are able to teleport using the toilets in the game.
Toilets?
Yeah, I don't get that concept either, but it is what they went with. So I'm going with it, I guess. It's up to 4 players online co-op, and like when your teammate dies, you can either pay to revive them or give them half of your health to revive them. So, like, for instance, I have a character, one of the characters I actually use is the soldier, and one of the soldier's perks is it regains health up to 20. So, like, if you are at one and you can hold off, you regain 20 health. So, like, I can revive my teammate for half of that, which would be 10. We fill that 20 and kind of keep going. And then, yeah, you gain health by finding a variety of objects in the environment. So you can find like a bacon cheeseburger, you can get whiskey and beer. They all just kind of give you health. There's no adverse effects to them. What does have adverse effects is you can sometimes find syringes in the trash cans and you can use them and they can give you positive benefits. I've had syringes that have made me invisible, which has been fantastic for like stealth missions or missions where you have to take out multiple enemies. You go in a room, you just beat them down, nobody knows where you're coming from. I've had some that have given me super strength. There can be negative ones. There are some that, like, there was one I took that showed me down. The one that really screwed me over is there was one that was sulfuric acid, which just killed me. So,
well, yeah, I mean, let that be a lesson to you. Maybe you shouldn't go into trash cans and use random syringes.
Exactly.
It sounds like a good life lesson.
It sounds like one, but
is there a way of getting them like analyzed before you use them, or is it just literally like we're going to try and see what happens?
You can get a perk or an ability, and these are randomly generated, and you can get some at the end of a stage that will let you know what's in it. But outside of that, it's usually syringe, question mark, question mark, question mark.
Okay.
This sounds like a perk that you should probably go for.
But the thing with it is like you unlock perks, but because again, it's like a randomly generated thing, you unlock perks. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what you're going to get. So, like, you get to choose from three perks at the end of a level, and that's pulled from the pool of the perks that you've unlocked in general. So, like, I have it unlocked. It doesn't mean it's gonna pop up every game I play.
Got it.
The flip side, though, is you can also use those syringes to put them in enemy camps. So you could put them in like the ventilator systems, and that would like smoke them out. You could do that. You could put cigarettes in it as well, and that it tends to damage them. And then they all tend to run out the exit. So that either opens up doors for you or it gives you a way to just kind of kill people as they come out. So I've been having fun. I played, I think, 5 hours of it so far. It's really great fun. The furthest we made it to, I think it's like level 4, which is the streets. Because the whole plot of the game, which there's apparently a plot, is you're trying to like win the support of the people to become the mayor of the city or something like that.
Can do that by transporting yourself through toilets.
Yeah, I don't get the connection between the plot and what's going on. They made a plot.
The plot what's going on? Wait a minute, I'm confused. What's a plot?
I don't know. Ask the game. But it is fun, which is all that matters. And most importantly for this group, it is on Xbox Game Pass. This is how I tried it out.
Nice.
It's free. The price is free.
The price is free. Free is an amazing price. I think more games should be free.
My favorite price.
Anything else, Earl?
I mean, outside of, like I said, Fortnite with the Aquaman stuff and Dauntless, I think that's the extent of what I've been playing.
All right. I played Dino Crisis 3.
The bad one.
It's bad. Very bad. It's like Dino Crisis 1 is basically Resident Evil meets Jurassic Park. It's a fun game. It's not great, but it is a fun title. Dino Crisis 2 is a little more action oriented. Weird kind of time travel plot line going on with that. I mean, there's a little bit of that in the first one. But it's still fun. Both of those are on the PlayStation. Then when we moved on to the, I don't know what like type of, like, that was 32-bit and 64-bit error. I'm not sure what PlayStation 2, GameCube, and Xbox would be. But 128-bit. Sure.
The best era.
I don't think they had an era because they are sandwiched between like the 64-bit and the HD era.
Yeah,
I don't think they're referred to as anything.
The pre-HD, like, error. So that was when Capcom was like, all right, so Nintendo's going to get Resident Evil, and they sent Resident Evil 4 over that way. Sony's going to get, I believe it was Devil May Cry, and Microsoft with their new Xbox system is going to get the next continuation of Dino Crisis. Xbox got screwed. they got the worst of the deal there. Dino Crisis 3 is awful. It takes place on a spaceship, which, I mean, I enjoy taking horror series to space. They're always ridiculous.
Just like Leprechaun 4.
Leprechaun 4, Jason X. There's a Hellraiser in space.
Jason X is actually good, though.
Jason X 4.
I brought up Leprechaun 4 because fuck that whole series.
Yes, that's fair.
Anyways, that's a story for a different day.
But this is similar to Leprechaun 4 in that it should not have been made. you're on this space station ship thing that's circling Saturn. Not really sure why you're there, but it's like a derelict space station. You're part of this recovery group, and there's nobody on it at all except for these weird dinosaurs. Not sure why the fuck they're there. Except most of the dinosaurs you fight aren't dinosaurs. They're like these worm creatures. And then you fight like these hammerhead type dinosaur things. Like none of them are like, oh, like you will fight like a T-Rex type thing at one point, but none of them are like, yeah, like there's a velociraptor or like things that you would expect from a dinosaur series. Like, oh, there's a Triceratops or a Stegosaurus, like big name dinosaurs. These are like weird genetic mutations. The gameplay sucks. It's still fixed camera angle, except unlike in like Resident Evil, like where, you know, the angle changes, like a scene changes on it. And as long as you're still holding up, like your guy will continue to move forward until you release it. Here, like it seems intermittent, like the scene will change and you're pushing up to move forward, and all of a sudden your guy's moving backwards and takes you back into the other. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know what's going on. The map is impossible to read. It's like a very early like 3D type map, so you're trying to like work through different levels and go up and down elevators. You can't figure it out because the map isn't interactable. It's a bad game. It doesn't look good, which is weird because I think, like, you know, you go back, play Resident Evil 4, play Devil May Cry, play Onimusha, like those games, like they're not lookers, but they don't look bad. This looks bad, and it's not fun. So. I'm still debating whether I wrap it up because I'm like halfway through.
I think you should not play anymore.
There's no achievements involved.
There aren't any achievements involved, but
and fun games come out tomorrow, so
this is true.
Don't have to have fun.
Play those games.
That Paper Mario.
I have Ghost of Tsushima coming, but I don't think it'll arrive tomorrow.
You spelled Paper Mario wrong.
Not getting
you didn't spell anything.
But it's definitely spelled Ghost. I also played Gears 5. They did an update yesterday. I think it's season 4 of whatever. It's Operation 4 is what they're calling it. They've brought back Dom. He is now a playable character. If you remember from when we were playing Gears 5, when they were introducing new characters, you had to like kind of jump through all these hoops to get them. And they were like these really long challenges. And even I, who played a ton of Gears 5, hadn't unlocked any. So like you had to play like in a massive amount to unlock these characters. They've scrapped that. It's gone. That, like you don't have to do the hoop jumping. They've also made it so that you can like you earn this new currency. They got rid of scrap and introduced something called Gears Coins, which you'll earn through their free battle pass type thing that goes on for each of the operations. Mm-hmm. And you can now buy skins for characters or weapons. It's all in like this repository store, which before it was, here's the premium stuff on the side that you can buy. And then anything else you have to earn through the battle pass. And now you can just like, hey, I want to play as Cole in his Thrashball outfit. You know, you earn 2,000 Gears coins and you can buy it there. It makes it way easier to go through, and it's just super much way better improved. There's now a ton of characters that you can play as, which was a huge complaint from some people. I didn't care necessarily. You can now use all your characters that you could use in Horde. You can use them all in the escape mode as well. And the levels transfer back and forth. So, if you've upgraded Marcus to level 9, you can use Marcus in escape and also have, you know, he's at level 9. So all those perks and unlocks are available. So you're not starting fresh again. They've added some new maps in, including some like, I really love Checkout, which was, back from the 360 games.
That narrows it down.
But I believe the first time I played it was Gears 2, but it's appeared in like every other game since. Like it's like a fan favorite, and
yeah,
we've played that map in Gears 4 in Horde. It's the one that takes place in the supermarket.
Okay.
So
I know what you mean, but yeah.
That one's back. They brought back Canals, which is the one with the giant canal in the middle of it and the bridges that go over. So like that's a Gears 1 map. They brought back like a lot of like the classic maps and brought new ones in as well that are interactive, and they've just done a great job with that game. I'm like, all right, like I just kind of jumped in to see how it was, and then I found myself playing it again today. It's like, this is fun. Like, I should get people together to play Horde again.
I would play Horde. Horde is fun.
Yeah, we can get Earl and Walt play a round of Horde. They also introduced something called Horde Frenzy, which I think is like the arcade mode, the arcade Horde from Gears 4. Which was like the shorter version.
Oh, okay.
So, you could shorten down, like we were playing, we would start at like level 25 or whatever for when we were playing Gears 5, because you could start at any level. But I think this is 25 rounds, and every 5 rounds you get a boss battle. Instead of in regular Horde, it was like every 10
every
rounds.
Every 10,
or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, you get that full Horde experience, but in a faster run. And that game just, it's fun. It plays great. The shooting feels great in it. The weapon variety is fun. It looks fantastic. And we'll talk a little bit about this later in news with the xCloud Game Pass stuff. But if I could figure out a way to like get a controller hooked up to my phone and that stuff works properly, I could see myself playing like a couple rounds of like Horde or multiplayer, like just like on the go.
I guess we could talk about this now. I think it's a great idea. How much is that going to kill your phone battery?
It's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, that could be a problem, right? Like where, if you're trying to play for any extended period of time, it just eats up your phone. We'll see, I guess. Jeff?
Hello, yeah.
You played a new game.
A brand new game.
And you played a not brand new game that came out last year. So kind
new-ish.
Of
newish. Yeah. Newish, yeah. I guess I'll start with the brand new game. I played Bloodstained Curse of the Moon 2.
It is Curse of the Moon. I kept calling it Circle of the Moon, and that's a Casper.
I've almost called it that about a million times, but I finally got it down. Yeah.
I can't imagine why. You would think Castlevania with this franchise.
Right. Yeah. It makes no sense, Earl.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it is very much, you know, a sequel to that first one, which was very much Castlevania 3, kind of, right?
Yeah, like, very much, yeah.
Like, I did not, like, play through that first one recently, so it's, like, hard for me to say, like, oh, here's what's new here, like.
Sure. I haven't played it yet.
You can play two players now. Like, play two players now, but yeah, but like, I didn't try that, so I don't know if you could do it. I don't think you could do it online, but it's like you could connect a second controller and someone else could play with you. I did not try that at all.
Yeah, I feel like these are games that like you can't just like throw at somebody and be like, hey, play.
Yeah, with me. It's not one I think like my girlfriend would like, you know.
Right.
I don't know. You kind of have to like the old castle, like NES Castlevania, you know.
Yep.
Which is basically what these games are. I do think that they like improve on a lot of things while still looking totally like an NES game, pretty much. You know, like looks, feels, plays just like, you know, old Castlevania, but like. There's little things that are better. That, you know, I think the level design is great. There's like little, there's effects I think couldn't be done on the NES.
Yeah, I saw you posted a clip of you fighting this like looks like a giant robot type thing on a train or something.
Yeah, that's like I think just, the first boss.
Yeah, the amount of effects that are going on
would not like the thing would chug like crazy if you actually tried to do that on an NES, and this is like smooth. Like, I think the first one and Castlevania 3, like, you could swap characters, you know, as you go along. Did we lose somebody?
Earl just dropped off.
Bye, okay. Earl.
Okay. And you start with, like, you know, your first character. I think all the characters are new in this one. And, like, the first character you start with is a very, like, Belmont-type character where it's, like, he's got a sword and... Like, so, it's like his special weapon is a whip, you know.
Zangatsu,
sure.
Yeah, he is in the he's the main character from the first one.
Okay,
And he's also in Ritual of the Night.
Okay. You know, and then you each for like the first four levels, you're picking up like a new character at the end of each level. So there's this one guy with like a gun. Who I thought was going to be really cool, but he's like weak. He can't jump high, and he like is really slow at shooting. So while it's awesome to have like this guy who is always a projectile like fighter, like he's just slow, you know?
Right.
I don't know the names for all of them. And then there's like this girl who's got like a spear, so like that gives her, you know, she's got reach. She could actually. Each character's got different things. Like, she could attack upwards, which none of the other characters can do, or downwards. And she's the healer, so it's like, she's very important, I think. Like, she could use, like, she uses, like, the magic, like, the hearts or whatever you get as, you know, like, to heal people. Like, that's her main thing. Of course. But everyone could, like, pick up power-ups that change. Like, you know, just like Castlevania, like, you pick up different, like, fucking power-ups. And then the last guy is a robot, like, or it's a dog inside of a giant robot, and he can kind of hover for a little bit, kind of like Princess Peach, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And he's a powerhouse, like he could totally fuck people up. So, like, you know, you get in each, like, one of these characters at the end of the first four levels, and then there's four more. So it's, like, eight levels total, which is longer, I think, than the first game.
Yeah, the first one was five.
Yeah. I'd say after, like, the first three levels, it gets pretty hard. Hard enough that I think in level five, I kind of gave up, and I switched to the casual setting.
Yeah, which like you take less damage and it doesn't have knockback, right? So
it doesn't have knockback and there's no lives. Like
Right.
You could run out of lives in the like veteran mode, and you'd have to restart the level. But I did notice as well, like this, I did not read this, but I totally noticed from playing the game both ways is that like the enemies do way less damage to you, like way less. So it, you know, and I think that casual mode, it's hard to say. Like each mode has its benefits, but like, I don't know. I think the game is still pretty challenging at points, even on casual mode.
Which is good. Like, yeah. I mean, maybe it's not just good if you're just like looking for an easy playthrough. But
well, like yeah. The thing is like playing a NES Castlevania game, and you take away the knockback, like that does change like how the whole game feels in a way. So it's like, you know, there's things that are more satisfying about playing the veteran difficulty because like, I don't know, you just feel good about it when you finally like pass an area. Right. Like you really learn it. Like you learn when you can move and not get hurt and fall into the lava or whatever the fuck.
It's more about learning the level, like getting the muscle memory to perfect it as opposed to kind of just brute forcing your way through it.
Like you still have to learn the level on casual, but it's like, yeah, you're not worried about getting knocked back and falling into a pit and dying.
You know? Right.
But yeah, overall, I think this game is like just like the first one, really fucking good. I guess it's less of a surprise this time that it's fucking awesome. But like,
yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think the surprise there is that it's awesome. It's just that they announced it like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. That was cool though, because there was like no real like wait for it. But like, I think you're with me on this, Chris. Like, these games are like really, really good. Like.
Yeah.
Like, if you're into that era at all, like, if you're into, like that era of Castlevania, like, these games are fucking amazing, cool. And this is just more of it, and it's a meatier game, like, and there's more to it after you beat the game, or at least, I don't remember what they had after
the first one. You talked about, like, there being, you know, three new characters that you can pick up and play. The original, like the other three companions, are in the game. I don't know how you get them, but I know that like to complete the game, you need to like play through it like three times, evidently. So
I started a second game, and you start the game with three out of the four characters, as opposed to like, you know, your first playthrough, you just have the one character and right. You get one each level. This like, and so when you play episode two, quote unquote, like you start with three out of the four, and it says the mission of the game is to save that fourth character. So I think what it is each episode you'll be able to play with all the characters except for one. So it like switches it up.
Right.
Unfortunately, episode two, the character you have to save at the end of the game is the healer girl. So it's like,
instantly harder.
And like the bosses, like the very first boss is a million times harder. Like he's doing way more shit than he is in episode one. So like, it's cool. It's like a cool remix of the actual game, and you get what, like I think four of them in this. Like pretty awesome. Like.
Yeah,
I'm intimidated to go and because like again like the first boss like I said was so much harder. I'm like I don't know if I want to like do this, and especially without a healer, you know. But I don't. It's more there if you want to. If you want it, like.
How long did it take you to go through it the first time?
Well, like, so when I restarted. I think I restarted on a Sunday. I restarted on casual mode. I did it in two sittings, and it was probably, I don't know, 4 hours.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah. Great cool. Game. It'll probably, like, just based on the fact of what's come out this year and what's to come, it'll probably be in my top 10. So
nice. So about Far Cry New Dawn.
So Far Cry New Dawn... I was really surprised by it. I bought it because it was on sale. All like the Far Cry games are like on sale now on Xbox, and this was the newest one, right? It's like an expansion to Part 5.
A standalone, yeah.
Like a standalone,
kind of like, you know, Blood Dragon-y.
Yeah. Like it's using like the same setting and shit.
Yeah.
But it's like post apocalypse now. Yeah. And like, I don't know, you guys know my history with Far Cry. Like, I really loved part 3, and I don't think I've loved any of them since, except for, you know,
Blood Dragon.
Like Far Cry 4, I didn't finish. Far Cry 5, I didn't finish. Like, I haven't really been impressed with it since. And I don't know what it is, but like this one is like I'm super, super into it. I'm having so much fun playing this one.
So is there anything different about it that you can see? Like, is it still the same kind of loop? Like,
it's Far Cry. It's definitely Far Cry, but it's like I feel more so than at least some of the stuff in the last few I've played. Like, each mission is like super interesting. Like, it's kind of its own thing. Like, I just did a mission, like, the last mission I did last night, I didn't use a weapon at all. Like, the mission was, like, I had to, like, jump into this hole at this plant or something, like, this giant, like, fucking well type thing. And, like, I fell, like, you know, a couple hundred feet, and I was at the bottom. And the whole thing was, like, you keep going through this complex and raising the water level. And, like, again, like, I'm not fighting anybody. It was, like, a giant water puzzle. I'm, like... I remember, like, in some of the other Far Cry games, there'd be, like, cool, interesting things in some of the missions, but I feel more so here, where it's just, like, every mission, I'm like, this is super fun. There's, like, this is way more than what I expect out of Far Cry. Like, I just usually expect to just, like, go kill as many things as possible.
That's normally what it is.
I'm probably giving some of the other ones, like, you know, not giving them enough credit, but like, I just really noticed that with this one was like, I don't know. I was just always amused by what I was doing. Like a very early mission is like, it's not even a mission. It's like you run into someone out in the wild and they're like, oh, I know where some treasure is. And it's like these things called treasure hunts. And it's at this church and I like go to this church and there's like a note outside, saying like, yeah, I hid the key to get into the vault here, and I basically put it around this bear's neck, and it'll come if you ring a bell. And like, you have to get on top of the church, go ring the bell. The bear shows up, you have to kill it. You fucking gut the bear to get this key out of him to get inside the church to just grab some loot. This is, I don't know, like that's kind of neat to me. I'm like, this is cool. Like they're always kind of throwing like a different kind of wacky scenario at me. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. Like it's very much Far Cry. Like
is it co-op?
Yeah, I think you can. You definitely can. I've not done any of that. Like I turned all that shit off. But Far Cry to me feels like a single player game. Like I don't know. Like
so I can't come invade your game.
I mean, if you really wanted to, I'll open it up, we'll play and check it out, but...
I'd have to install it, but yeah, I have it.
You have it? Oh, yeah. Honestly, I would... Like, to me, this is, like, one of the best deals I've gotten on a game all year. Like, $10 for this. Like, even if I stopped right now, I've gotten all 10 of those dollars. Like, I've been pretty hooked on it over the last couple of days. I've, like, actually collected all of... Like, there's, like, these, like, specialists you gotta get all over the map. That's another cool thing, too. I think that might be new, is, like, you know, it's, like, there's a base building aspect. Like, you have a central town where, like, everything you're doing is kind of, like, adding to that, which also then, you know, adds back to you. Like you'll have an infirmary in your town. If you upgrade that, then your health is larger. You know what I mean? Like,
that's kind of cool, because before, yeah. Maybe Tony can... correct me here, I think that was just you would just upgrade like via like a skill menu or something.
Like you still have that too. Like it has both, but like anything that you do to your town, like there's like a training barracks in your town. If you upgrade that, then your fucking like your team, the people that roll with you, like are mm-hmm. better fighters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like so it's like the town building, like I'm never into that town building shit, but like because it feeds so back directly into like your like playthrough experience, like you know your character and shit, like it's pretty fucking cool, I think.
Yeah, it's way more than just let's upgrade the store so we can get new stuff. It's like everything. It like upgrades the skills that your people have, and it's
have you played really this one? Deep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really good.
Like honestly, I think it might be my favorite one since 3. Like I have not liked any of the others, so it's gotta be.
Excited for Far Cry 6.
Am I or are you? I you cut off for a second.
Are you excited for Far Cry 6?
I don't know, but I all I can say is like I was not expecting to like. I was expecting to be like with every other Far Cry where my interest dies off, and I'm like super into this. I'm like having so much fun.
Cool. I watched this. This takes place on the Far Cry 5 map, right? Yeah, it takes place after 5. I watched Fozzie play some of the beginning of 5 last week while I was editing the show. The game's really pretty, but
yeah. Oh my god,
I wasn't drawn in by anything that he was doing. Like it was the beginning of it too, so it was like very scripted. But then it was like, oh, go to this outpost and wipe out the enemies. Oh, there's a bear there. So you shoot the thing on the bear attacks everybody. That's fun. Like it's cool looking, but then he got a person that like became his partner, and that person was just like kind of an idiot and like walked off. But this sounds a little bit more entertaining.
I mean, again, maybe, you know, sometimes you just place things in the wrong mood. Like maybe when I played Far Cry 5, I don't know, but like all I can tell you is I was not expecting much out of New Dawn, and I don't know, man. Yeah. Like I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I do think like I guess one other thing about this is like it's kind of like Stephen King, his best writing is his short stories. I think that these like kind of one-off ones like New Dawn and you know Blood Dragon, I think Far Cry might work better as like a
shorter,
smaller, yeah, like a smaller open world experience. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Part of my problem with 5 is like, and like you, I don't know. Like I just looked at it. Like there was a cutscene that played, and it was this like religious fundamentalist, and it's like this is a little too real.
Yeah,
like these fascists that have taken over what was like Montana or something, and.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's why I didn't finish either 5 or New Dawn. It just I got sick of the religious fanatic people. I can't deal with that as a theme in the game.
In New Dawn, I feel like I don't see them as much, and I feel like there's slightly less story.
Okay.
Scenes, and it's like it just kind of feels like this, like sort of like Mad Max vibe, where you're like, yeah, there's that bad group of bikers. I forgot what they're called, like the Highwaymen. The Highwaymen are the bad guys. It's just like there is like a villain. Like she shows up. She showed up like maybe once or twice so far, but most of what I've been doing is just like grabbing these other like specialist guys to build up my base and shit. I don't know, dude. It's honestly, you already own it.
But, yeah, I got it.
Anyone that's listening. If you don't own this already and it's still on sale, fucking $10 is a steal for this.
I think I'm pretty sure I got it for $10 like in a month or two after it came out.
Yeah, yeah. So it's probably gone on sale a bunch of times, but
yeah.
They're all like super deep. Like I almost bought 5 and I might. Like it's like $8. I think I own all the others, so it doesn't matter, but I bought Splinter Cell Blacklist at like fucking right before I went to bed last night because it was like I think $6. I don't know. All these Ubisoft games are on sale.
That's the last one they made, right?
Yeah, and that one is fucking awesome. And the only time I played it was on the Wii U, so I get to play it again and get achievements.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely like I'm going to play that. This is not just like oh I'm buying something so it goes in my library. I'm going to play that probably right after Far Cry and Paper Mario. I'll probably get to it.
Tony, what have you been playing?
Every week on Xbox Rewards, they have like their weekly challenges where if you finish all 3 of them, you know, you build it up to a week and then you get a whole bunch of points. So the one for this past week, was get 3 achievements in a game. And I was sitting at my gaming computer because my kids were on the Xbox. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try some new PC games through Xbox Game Pass for PC and, you know, get my 3 achievements. So the first game I decided to try was Endless Legend, which is a strategy game kind of along the lines of Fantasy Civilization. And it came out forever ago. It came out in like 2014. And I played it back then and I loved it. And I got a couple of the expansions, whatever. So I'm like, okay, now I can get achievements for playing it though. So I downloaded it on Xbox Game Pass for PC. And I launched the game and I tried to start a new game. Crashes. Weird. So I, you know, start the game again. Try to launch a new game, it crashes. All right, twice was a little odd. Try it 3 times. Okay, the same thing happens again. So then I start doing some research on this situation. The version of Endless Legend that is on Xbox Game Pass is not compatible with Windows, the current version of Windows.
Well,
it'll run on Windows 8, it'll run on Windows 7, but it will not run on Windows 10. Which is hilarious because I actually played the game on Steam on Windows 10.
That's fucking nuts.
Oh, fucking so, PC games, man.
Yes.
This is why I don't fuck with that shit.
I uninstall it. Well, I mean, at this point, I've wasted, like, you know, 10 minutes of my time, so whatever. Uninstall it, because I'm obviously, if it doesn't work, I don't need to play that. But I need a different game, so I go with Cities Skylines.
Yeah.
Which, PC City Builder. Actually, it's on Xbox also. I adore that game. I haven't played it in ages, though. So they have made some changes to that game, which are really, really good. Like, the hardest part of the, and the most annoying part of the city planning for me was the pipes under the city. I don't know if any of you guys have played this game, but
I tried it very, very briefly on, I think, Game Pass.
Okay, so citizens have need for 2 different kinds of pipes, right?
There's
the sewage pipe. Who doesn't? And there's a water pipe. So they need water, and they need a place for the sewage to go. The most annoying thing about this game when it came out was, like, networking those 2 pipes together, because you couldn't have the water flowing into the sewage for, you know, pretty obvious reasons.
Yeah, you don't want shit water.
So I am messing around with this game and trying to build the pipes around so that the 2 don't meet each other ever. And my citizens are complaining the whole time because I can't get it so any house is getting both water and sewage at the same time. They're all only getting one or the other. So I get mad. I can't figure this out. I'm messing with it for like half an hour. I uninstall the game. Screw this. I come back a little later. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try it again. So I reinstalled the game.
Okay.
Because I had gone online and saw that they had networked the pipes together now. So now when you build a pipe, it does both.
So now it's easier to lay pipe.
It's so much easier to lay pipe, yes, Jeff.
Sorry.
But it was I just spent all this time like trying to figure it out, and literally I didn't need to do anything. I just needed to build one set of pipes. And, of course, you have to connect the pipes to, like, a water source or to a sewage plant. So the stuff has something to go. So I spent all this time, like, messing around with the pipe network. I only needed to just build pipes everywhere. That was all I needed to do. But I got back into it. That game is so fun and so sublime. I could sit and play that game for hours. In fact, I did. I think I played it for, like, 4 hours straight. It's just fun to like build up a little city network and have your people move in. You can divide cities into districts. You can give the districts unique architecture. So you're like, I want this part of the city to be European, and I want this part of the city to look like Tokyo. And you can like assign these. So your city will grow up and different parts will be will have a completely different look. You can also assign like different policies to different areas. So like you can have this industrial area, but it's got a farming policy. So everything over here relates to farming. And this area is a fishery.
This area wears masks, and this area doesn't.
Well, you can say, okay, in this area, weed is legal. Like, and that increases tourism, but also increases crime. So there's like all these different options for like dividing up your city. I don't know. As opposed to like previous city, it does a good job of making you feel like you're progressing and leveling up, and it's always throwing stuff and adding new things in. There's a lot of game there. The game also has like 6 or 7 expansions now.
I so want to learn like how to play this. Like, I've always been fascinated by SimCity, and it's like every time I try it, I'm like, this is like immediately I'm like,
it's really complicated, really.
Yeah,
quickly.
Like immediately, I'm like, oh no, that's never gonna happen. But yeah, I love the idea of those games.
They're not that complicated, though.
No, I'm sure.
Think about how things work in a real city.
Even like the Super Nintendo one, I'll be like, this is too much. I don't know. Like, fuck this.
Well, I mean, the other thing is you could just build your city in a really reactive way. Like, oh, everything's on fire. Maybe you should build a fire department. citizens are complaining about crime. One of the good things that City Skylines does, though, is there are, like, every day you'll get, like, a newspaper headline thrown at you. So it'll be like,
guide you.
Citizens in Tonyville demand solar power, or something like that. And, yeah, it'll help you out and give you, like, little tips. Without, like, beating you over the head. Will there be lead in the pipe?
And not give them clean water. Sorry. Sorry, Flint.
Oh, Jeff.
Yeah.
Don't kill your citizens.
That's right. Or well, two.
You know, when you shower, there's no water. And, you know, you turn on the shower, there's no water. You turn on the sink, there's no water. You use the washing machine, there's no water. You use the dishwasher,
actually, you'll get
no water.
One of the alerts you'll get is citizens complain showering with bottled water is too expensive.
Not incorrect.
This is why Sims is more of my speed. I could just, like, on a personal level, torture my Sim.
This is true. You can witness it. You can, like, oh, look, you're on fire.
Plus, the Sims is like, all right, I just got to monitor whether, like, this guy has to pee, he's hungry, there's, like, 5 meters, and then you're good, you know? Like,
you don't have to, like, deal with 1.5 meters.
I don't have to, like, conceptualize a city from top to bottom and everything that it fucking needs. I don't know.
Well, I think one of the other cool things about Cities Skylines, the game isn't too big. It's as big as you want it to be. So you build your city, and then as it expands, you get the option to like purchase a new area, but you don't have to. Like, you could keep everything small and contained.
Yeah. Maybe one day. One day I'll get to the bottom of it.
I think the other problem, those games are much better to play on PC. And if you're trying to play them on console, like, the controls get a little fiddly, and it's harder to get through all the menus. You can play them on console, and it runs fine. And if you get used to the menus, that's great. But it definitely is a better experience on a PC.
Yeah, just being able to, drag and drop and like, reposition things.
Yep.
It feels so much better with a mouse and keyboard. It's just, I do love the...
Zoom in, zoom out with the mouse wheel. Like,
yeah,
it just feels right.
I just you wish like somebody would come up with a good controller scheme that makes it just as easy to like sit on your couch and play it on your TV.
The only game I've seen like work out the strategy was Stellaris. Same publisher, actually. But that game is different because each area is so small and like the map consists of little circles and right. You can just cycle through the circles. Whereas if most of these games have like a big map and you need to move around the map, it's just hard.
Did you get your achievements?
I did. Yes. Streak continues. It's up to 49 weeks. Nice. Get my 2,500 points next week.
Yep. And then you have to wait another 10 weeks.
And then I'll have enough rewards points to get Madden for free.
Nice. Before we jump into news, unless you play something else, Tony.
Apex Legends. In fact, I won a game while we were on the podcast.
Wow.
Well, speaking of Madden, Jeff, you want to give us real quick your experience with Madden this past
Madden.
Yeah, I mean, I think I did talk, like, dude, I bought Madden 19, and I bought it, like, I think like a year ago, like maybe last summer. It was on sale for like $10.
Yeah.
I think I talked about it here on here before, and like I, like my impression of it now is kind of the same as like what I remember it being then. Where I just it just feels off to me. Like I'm speaking as someone who like the last Madden game I played a lot of was Madden probably 08. But like during that era from like 04 to 08, like I played that series a decent amount, right? And it's like so I have a feel for how Madden should play, and like this feels different to me. I don't know, like am I crazy? Like this feels more sim like and if but it also feels like it is a simulation, like it's kind of running without me. And
you said that online. Like, and the first thing I said was, what difficulty are you playing on? Because if you're playing on too low a difficulty in Madden, that game literally plays itself. You might as well not even
be
there.
You said that, but like I think you know, I think I told you I often win a game like 7-0, 3-0. Like I ain't doing shit. They ain't doing shit.
That was the other part that got me was you said something about you couldn't score, which when you have the difficulty way down on Madden, like scoring is super easy.
Yeah, so like again, I'm probably not just like super good at the game. Like,
I will say these games have become measurably harder than they used to. Like if you're playing on the lowest difficulty, you still need to know like football, and the timing is way faster than it used to be.
I think I do. Like, I think I get flustered in the pocket or whatever. Like I'm just like trying to like read where people are going or whatever. Like trying to, you know. I think so. A lot of times I'll like commit to one receiver and that's what it's going to no matter what. And I'll like think in my head, like, oh yeah, he's going to be open. And it's like, no, he wasn't. He's fucked. Yeah.
No, you literally need like, it used to be, you could count on like, you'd have like the Randy Moss button or you'd have a play where the receiver would always be open every time that you ran it, no matter what the defense was. And that none of that works anymore. You literally have to like see where the defenders are on the field in relation to the play that you're running and know how those routes interrelate. Otherwise it's really hard to throw the ball.
And I just also feel like, I don't know. Like Madden has always been like a real like football game, but it's like, it felt more responsive and quicker to me, like when I used to play back in the day. Like whereas now, it really feels like I'm interrupting this animation that's in progress, and so like it feels delayed to me. Like if I select whoever on defense and I'm trying to like do an interception, it does not feel as fast and responsive as how I remember it. Like again, maybe I'm crazy and whatever. I just suck at the game, but like. it just, the game felt like, I do think that like they've really gotten there in terms of where I wanted the broadcast style.
Hey, it looks great.
In it, like the presentation. Yeah. Like it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Like at least the first couple games you play before you hear everything and shit. But like, I just feel like I suck at it. Like I suck so, like I never felt like I sucked that bad playing any of the old ones. But I still, like, I've been playing it a decent amount. Like, it's one of those ones, like, if I have the next day off and I'm up late, I'm drinking some beers, I'm like, all right, like, let's play some Madden, you know? But it's not, I'm not as good as I was back in the day.
It's fair. Did anybody watch the Ubisoft showcase?
No, because I was playing Cities Skylines and forgot.
I watched, but you guys didn't miss anything.
No,
they showed off Watch Dogs 2, which I don't know. It looks cool, I guess. It's a you'll be able to kind of build like your team of people. Like you can recruit basically anybody in the game, which mm-hmm. they had talked about before. And each of them have different abilities. So, like, if you get the drunk guy from the bar, like, you know, he might not have any abilities other than passing out. But you could get, like, the construction worker, and he'll have a nail gun, or the hacker, and she'll be able to, like, you know, stealthily move her way through technology. I don't know. It looks cool. It started off really weirdly with this live action, I guess, kind of live action short film that repurposed a World War II poem about the Nazis that seemed a little out of place with this, but you know, Ubisoft is they're not always on point with their messaging, so
to put it mildly.
What else did they show? Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That game looks cool. they showed it in motion. Like they showed some of the gameplay actually with it. You can dual wield any weapon in the game. So you could like dual wield with like an axe and a spear. You could dual wield with two shields if you wanted to. So that looked really cool and opened up a lot of different type of combat with it. Didn't really get into it. Like, it just looked like you were kind of like riding your boat around and then raiding villages and stuff. They didn't really get into what the story is with it. I'm not sure how it's an Assassin's Creed game. Looks like a cool Viking game. I'm not really sure how it's an Assassin's Creed game.
To be fair, the last couple have been lacking in the Assassin's Creedness.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Origins, like at least, you know, they tied it into the order.
I'm sure they'll tie this one in too. It's just the game. I think they've tired of that sort of really sneaky gameplay.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like here, just go beat the shit out of things. and they showed they didn't show Far Cry 6, but they did a cinematic teaser for it. Giancarlo Esposito, his name. He's going to be the villain. He played Gus on Breaking Bad, and he was the bad guy in he was kind of like the big Imperial bad guy in The Mandalorian. What looks cool about that, they didn't show the game in motion, is that I think it takes place in a city this time, which is different from like all the Far Cries. Because all the other Far Cries are like, you know, remote island or some sort of open space. You know, lots of jungle, lots of trees and stuff. If this takes place in a city, that could change up the way that game kind of operates, which could be fun. And that was it. I think I've hit all of what they showed.
That wasn't much.
You didn't miss anything. They're going to do another one next month.
Sweet.
Did anybody watch the Devolver Digital one?
No. Did you watch that one, Earl?
I caught pieces of it. I don't know if you've seen Devolver Digital in years past. They are kind of like that really weird meta over the top goofiness.
Yeah.
And I have always thought it was kind of refreshing at E3 that there was somebody there to poke fun at these big, elaborate, over-the-top press conferences. But it does not really work as well when there are no other press conferences around you. And you are kind of like the OE thing. I mean, not the OE thing, because Ubisoft is the next day. But everybody's doing like these digital events, and everybody's kind of doing the same thing stuff. So they... you know, they're poking fun at press conferences, they're poking fun at the hype. And I watched it for like 10 minutes and I'm like, I don't remember any games being shown. And I'm like, and I get that's the thing, but I'm like, in this day and age, it doesn't work as well to do that because you're not poking fun at anything at that point.
Like, you can't counter program if there's no programming.
Yeah. So it felt like, oh, this is what we do. This is what people know us for. But it's like, if you were to take cheese out of a grilled cheese sandwich, you have cheese and you have bread. They don't really do anything on their own. So it's like you took this out of E3, you took it out of this big press conference mumbo jumbo, and it's just like this really weird presentation where, like, yeah, this is one of those times where it's like, yeah, your stuff fit in a press release. That we didn't need a show for this.
That kind of sucks, but I did not watch it. So.
No, we complained about this before, and this is the same complaint opposite. Is that, like, why is everybody doing these on the weekend now? And then they're doing it, like, I think Ubisoft was at 1, and I think that, no, was Ubisoft was at 3, yeah. And Devolver was at 1. And I'm just like, yeah, it's a Saturday. I am even home. Still in bed at 1 on a Saturday. I'm an old man. I enjoy my nights out. my nights drinking, I should say. I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Microsoft's, though, is going to be a dead smack in the middle of the week next week. So,
yeah.
Did they announce what time for Microsoft's? I know it's on Thursday. Probably going to be at some stupid time for us here on the East Coast.
Probably.
They did give new details on it. I think they said it's going to be like an hour long, and it's going to focus on games, not necessarily hardware or details. So I assume we're not going to really know a price or a date for anything until December.
Yeah, well, when they said that they, I guess the rumors were that there's going to be another event or showcase in August where they're going to reveal their cheaper model, the Lockhart. I figured that's where we're going to learn pricing for Xbox. There was rumors, I guess, Sony pricing a couple days ago, but that never materialized. So, you had posted this morning to us, right? The xCloud Game Pass announcement, where xCloud is going to be integrated into Game Pass Ultimate. So you'll be able to stream your games to your phone or tablet. I don't know, is xCloud available on, like, can you do it to PC too? Or that would be interesting. But no price increase for Game Pass, so that's a nice value add. To me, I think Sony needs to bundle Plus and their PlayStation Now service, because service-wise, Microsoft is killing them, especially since you get day one releases of Microsoft Studios games through Game Pass. They also announced that the Kinect is basically, I mean, it was already
rest in peace.
But it is not moving forward with the Series X. So if you were playing Kinect games, you will not be able to. They are not going to work on your Series X.
There's going to be 5 people who are really upset. And 2 of them are Arthur Geese.
And I am one of them. So that's 3 of us.
What was, like, the big dance game?
Dance Central?
Yeah. Yeah, I kept thinking Just Dance, but no, that's not the one.
No, I don't think you needed a Kinect.
No, it's just, yeah, that's on everything. Yeah,
Dance Central was good. The Kinect Sports was fun. They had some games that were enjoyable to play. Also, but for me, I've been using the Kinect as a webcam. If I stream,
I did that like once, yeah.
And like, it's fine, I guess, to, you know, you could hook up any old webcam to it, not any old one. Like, it has to be specific, but you can hook up a webcam to your Xbox. It's just the Kinect was, you know, it was there. It was bundled with it. And yeah. I still have it, so kind of sucks that you won't be able to use it on the next one, but whatever. Earl, you want to tell us about this Dragon's Dogma anime?
I mean, that is pretty much it. Dragon Dogma is getting an anime on Netflix, which I actually think is premiering soonish. I want to say August or September. So, good on them. So, if I'm not mistaken, it is one game that has just been ported over and over again, right?
That's my understanding, yes.
Or as they call it in the business, a Capcom special.
Yeah, I think that they released Dragon's Dogma, and then there was like something that had an expansion with it. So like there was that release.
Yeah, like I think there's like one expansion, maybe, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Is that Dark Arisen?
Dark Arisen, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the sequel was announced, but it has never materialized. I did not play this game. Did anybody here play
it? I remember I tried the demo of it. Like, there was a demo. I remember it being kind of interesting. I don't know. Has anyone else played it?
I remember Sean loving it. Definitely seemed like one of his types of games, though. I haven't played it. And finally on our list here, Earl reminded me right before we started about the Lego Nintendo Entertainment System.
Which looks amazing. It looks so cool. There's
a little like, crank on the side of it to like make Mario move across the level on the TV screen.
And if you get the Mario Lego set, the one separate from it, it also you can like play out footage of the game with music and stuff with the Lego figures.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Do you guys see the price on it, though?
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's too much. It's not happening.
Wait, how much is it? Okay, because when it was revealed, it was 200. Then it went up to 230, and now it's 250.
I remember I saw it at 230. I want to say, but like, even if it was 200, I mean that's like a lot for a Lego set.
Well, no, from what I understand, that is not a lot for a Lego set. That's the issue, is that actually is already to be.
Well, that's insane.
Legos can get it.
Yeah, they can.
Then again, I just spent $160 on Friday 13th that I already owned.
See,
so.
that's the thing, is I spent the money on the Friday the 13th thing, and then I remembered today that I also pre-ordered the Power Rangers Morpher set. and to kind of reiterate what we talked about last week, I have a lot of free money because I'm not doing anything with my life right now. So.
I could technically buy this Lego NES thing. Like, I could. Like, if I wanted it, I could get it. But, like...
$230.
Okay. Yeah. So okay.
You know what I think I might do? Like, and I might use Earl's logic for this, too.
Don't be me.
And say, like, since I'm not doing anything this year, like, at all, at fucking all... I'm going to get one of those fucking one-up arcade cabinets. I'll probably get NBA Jam.
I am doing that as soon as my bonus comes in.
You're getting like the Star Wars one, right?
Star Wars one. The NBA Jam one though is cool.
I think I really want that NBA Jam one. Like to me, that's like one of the most fun arcade games. Like I don't know. I'm not even that into basketball, but like that was just so fun.
Jam is an awesome game. Yeah. Jam and Blitz were like if they had them at a bar or arcade that went to like always.
And it is like a mass appeal. Like that's one of those ones like you have a friend over who like maybe doesn't play games would be like fuck yeah let's play NBA Jam. You know what I mean? Like
this Lego set is awesome though.
It looks great. I would buy it if it were less money.
I wonder how big it is. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to. You don't know from the picture. Like,
it's 2,640.
Oh, that's pieces. Big.
It gets a big set.
What's big though? Like, you know,
like well,
that's probably like 2 feet across.
Yeah, like my starter
like a desk kind of thing.
the Star Destroyer I put together and my Millennium Falcon were, I think, like maybe 1,300 pieces. And they're pretty big. So, like, I mean, obviously, like, this needs a little more bulk because that TV. But I bet it's decent sized.
It's real cool.
I like that there's a sticker on the back of the television. Like, like the that sticker to kind of like, hey, like, you know, this is an electrical thing.
Don't touch it.
There's an antenna on the back and the plugs, the red and yellow cable plugs. This is really cool.
Yeah. But I did not think about the size because I'm like, I would, but then that kind of runs into the same issue, which is why I've avoided Oppo. I have no place to put this stuff once I build it.
It's true.
It's not like I have a garage or anything where I can store it.
I'd have to move some stuff around, but this does comes out in a couple weeks, actually. My birthday's next month. Maybe I can talk my wife into that. If I show it to my kids, they'll badger her enough to.
There you go.
I was about to say, your kids are getting old enough to move out. You could put it in one of their rooms.
Yeah, well, we have.
You're 10. You can pay rent now, right?
I guess once my oldest goes to college, I could move the youngest in with one of the other kids and utilize their room is.
Just make that the centerpiece of your kitchen table.
Then my wife would love that. Right now, she's like, "When do I get my dining room back?" Because that's where I've set up my office for working. Because she's working from home too, so it's like you're not really set up to have two home offices. It's like I've commandeered the dining room. This is a cool thing. It doesn't have the size, Jeff. So, I've now fallen down a rabbit hole of looking at. New Lego sets. There's the entrance to Jurassic Park with the T-Rex.
That's pretty cool.
That's $250.
Wow. I mean, I'm no Lego expert, but this is like the coolest thing I've ever seen, though. Like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, God damn, I would want that. Like, I'm not in the Lego period, you know. Well, I would want that.
The one thing I have against it, and it's a pet peeve, but it's also, it's like, they're not really Legos. It's a Nintendo playset made by Ego, but they're not actually Ego bricks.
the Super Mario ones, not this Nintendo one, the Super Mario one.
This isn't one either, really. It's not the individual bricks. It's like different pieces that, like, I get that a lot of their playsets are like that, but like, even then they would have like their minifigs or like, yeah, this is just kind of like Nintendo stuff made by Lego.
Sure. But if you've ever gone to like Lego Lego exhibits or anything, like people have taken like the bricks and made like cool shit like this out of it. So this is just giving us that, I guess. You can buy Manchester United Stadium for $300. That is 4,000 pieces. Yeah. All right. Well, I will have a Ghost of Tsushima next week. I think Tony will as well.
Hell yeah.
Earl, you and
Jeff will have Paper
Mario. Jeff will have Mario. The Origami King.
Yep.
I have that one too, but I'm going to be playing Samurai game.
You can get your kids' impression of Paper
Mario. Sure. I'll have them come onto the podcast.
Yeah.
There you go. And we will, I believe, the Microsoft event, right?
Yep. Microsoft event is Thursday, so we will be able to talk about that as well.
And we might finally finish our 2 months of E3. Who would have ever thought at some point when people said, like, you'd have video game conferences for almost 8 weeks. That would end up being a nightmare and not fun.
Yeah. It's not even over, though, because there's going to be a Sony event in August, another Microsoft event in August. I guess that's moving into Gamescom time frame, but
yeah. And at some point, I imagine we have to hear from Nintendo.
I was gonna say, like, I think I already like mentioned this before, but like, you think that's coming this month? I think it is. I think it has, dude. Like,
we'll need something because Paper Mario. It's after midnight on the East Coast, so Paper Mario is out. There is no other Nintendo game stated for this entire year, as far as like there's nothing. Yeah, like, we know about Pokemon Snap. But we don't know if that's this year. We know about Pokemon Unite. We don't know if that's this year. I don't think Breath of the Wild 2 is this year at all. So we know nothing about the rest of the year for them at all.
There has to be at least two games, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, one of those collections, like, we talked about all this before. One of those collections that come in, and I think, like, between the release of Paper Mario and, like, the end of the month or very beginning of August, like, there's... Like, dude, they had to be prepared for an E3 in June. So, you know, where is that shit?
to a degree, because, like, I mean, part of it isn't necessarily that they weren't prepared for E3. The part of it is, like, anything else, like we talked about with movies, is you have your productivity. Like, yes, people are working from home, but it's not going to be the same thing as if you were working in offices. And that seems to be... to be doubly true for Japanese organizations for some reason.
It's true.
Yeah, and like, I was gonna say, like, we've gotten, like, most of the games so far, but, like, those are closer to release and that, like, so, like, I don't know, I feel like we do know the back half of the year, though, for, like, Sony and Microsoft, so it's like, come on, man, like, I wanna know what it is, like...
Do we for Sony, other than Spider-Man? Like, is that it?
That's it. I mean, yeah, I guess there will be more things announced, but I don't know, dude. I just want something from Nintendo. Like, it's been too long.
Yeah, I'm with you. I want that Mario collection.
I know. That's basically it. Like, you give me that. Like, honestly, you give me that or you give me Metroid Prime, and I'm like, I'm fine. Like, that's either one of those would keep me busy, you know?
Yeah. Well, hopefully we get some of that. Because we're going to have a lot to talk about next week. I will push my suggestion for something to the week after. But we have not done...
The second game of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we have not done our first Hall of Fame for the year. So I'm thinking maybe we do that for the last week in July, so maybe 2 weeks from now we'll do one. So we'll get people's input for the fifth entry, and we'll each bring a Hall of Fame entry.
Sitting in the Hall of Fame, ba-da-da.
But next week, Ghost, Paper Mario, Microsoft conference. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.